This morning we're going to finish where we left last week because it was too hot. It was an abrupt conclusion, you know. Going 91 to 51 is a big temperature swing. I'm not saying I won't quit halfway through this one, but never know. So we're picking up in, going to review, it's the Kingdom Living, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, and these are the Beatitudes. You know? All right. No, chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Now, this sermon on the mount is kind of like his, not his thesis, but his launching of his ministry as to what how it's going to be different. How that what he is presenting to the people is completely different than what they have imagined. You know, we mentioned that his disciples and followers, they wanted dominion and prosperity. They wanted rid of the Romans. The Messiah is coming, and let's go build an army. Well, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." People didn't want to hear about being poor, but he had a different meaning. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So kingdom living is knowing that God's blessing is found in unexpected places. And in this text, Jesus outlines that his kingdom belongs to the humble, to the hungry, and to the hurting. Jesus begins his teachings not with rules, but with rewards. Now, when we think of the Beatitudes, you know, it's the rewards that are before us. Whenever you look back at Moses and receiving the Ten Commandments, these are the rules. These are the commands. But what Jesus is giving to us is how that we are to live the life that God has given to us, and what are the rewards that he is going to give us in this whole process. So the blessed that we have become are not those the world esteems, but those who are dependent upon God. We are looking to God for our blessings. He is a good, good Father. Amen. Thank you. And the Beatitudes show us what kind of people belong to the kingdom of God. What type of people are his children? You know, some of the people, the followers at his time, wanted, like I said, possessions and dominion and prosperity, but they were certain that the kingdom would make them free and rich. But Jesus in his message would turn their thinking upside down, or should we say right side up. So the first one that we spoke of last week is the posture or the attitude of the kingdom people. So what attitude are we to have? We find that in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I'm not going to expound all of them like as we did last week for the first ones. But poor in spirit is that we recognize that we have spiritual poverty. That the only richness of spirit comes through our relationship with Christ. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn. Now, mourning here is not grieving over a great loss, but it's grieving over our sins. Grieving over the brokenness or injustice that's in our world. And so we are grieving, what would God feel about this? And when he sees the sin of the world, and it's a grieving, it's a sorrow that's in God's heart. And so that's why we are to pray for those who despitefully use you, that, you know, these things grieve the heart of God. And third, blessed are the meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. And like the illustration of a wild stallion that is in, you know, running wild in the West. And you take that stallion and bridle it and, you know, put a bit in its mouth and a rider. The stallion hasn't lost its strength. It's now just guided. And so whenever the meekness that God has given to us is our strength is guided by Him, by His Spirit and His Word. Verse 6 is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is a deep longing for God's justice, a deep longing for His rule and righteousness in our lives and in our world. So God longs to, you know, what's going to happen in the thousand-year millennial reign. Christ is going to rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years. So that's wanting that justice of God. So the first section was the attitude of kingdom people, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Now, I know it took us a half hour to do that last week. So we're going to continue. The second part is the practice of kingdom people. So we're kingdom living. Now, how do we as people of God's kingdom live? Well, the first three Beatitudes focus on how we relate to others. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Well, mercy is forgiving, it's compassion, it's specifically an action towards others. Now, grace, and when we're talking about grace and mercy, it's always important to distinguish the two. We use them simultaneously, but grace is telling to us what you deserve. I'm not giving that to you, I'm giving you grace. Mercy is you've done something wrong, you deserve punishment, and I'm giving you mercy. So it's like back and forth that one is we deserve one thing and get another. And what God has given to us is his mercy towards us. So whenever we're looking at being forgiven, we're forgiving others. Mercy is the Holy Spirit. And the practice of compassion and love towards those who are suffering. We show mercy because we've received mercy. We simply give of what we have received. So when we're talking about what God wants us to do, He's asking us to be reflective of what we've already received. So the question for this attitude is, what or who needs mercy from us? What we have received from God is mercy. We deserved punishment, but God gives to us His mercy. So who is it that needs mercy from us that we be reflective of it? Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart is a undivided loyalty to God. That there is a cleanness, a sincerity in our minds and hearts about God. There's not the double-minded. And Scripture talks about the double-minded man is like a ship on the ocean tossed and turned, you know. But so being double-minded is becoming seasick. You know, you just can't make up your mind where you're going, and we're sick of everything. So if you're sick of everything, wonder if you're double-minded. So just putting that out there. So pure in heart, don't just do right. We want what's right. That, you know, when you look at our society and look at the news, look at those things, pure in heart is we want what's right for not only for us, but for all people. So we're looking for that and wanting it to happen. These people have a straightforward, open motives, holy thoughts. Well, what does God think about this? How can we help want the will of God to be accessed and God's grace to be deployed in our own lives? Am I inwardly pure or just outwardly religious? Pure in heart. Verse 9. If I keep going this quick, we'll be done early. I just thought I'd tell you that. You know. You sure you don't have something to say, you know? See, I got an audience, you know? Yeah. You know, the Jesus said if the people didn't cry out, the very dogs would cry out. No, rocks would cry out. So, all right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers don't avoid conflict. Did you know that? They move toward reconciliation. Peacemakers are the healers. The word literally means to join together. I always learn things whenever I prepare all this stuff, that we are joining, whenever you're seeking peace, you're also actually bringing two people or two groups that are in conflict, you're bringing them together, bringing people together. We picture two opposing forces that are being reconciled. We find that they reflect the heart of God. God is not the author of confusion. So we look at this, at our life and things, we understand God is not the author of confusion. So if there is confusion and turmoil, God is not behind it. So we can see how we can be in place to bring it together, but some people just don't want to be at peace. And I always think of, used to do trainings at the hospital, and my one illustration was always, do you carry water or gasoline with you everywhere you go? Because some people can put out fires and some people just like to watch them burn. You know, they just whoosh, put a little gasoline on it. We can make a real fire out of this. And so we find that we are spreading peace or opposing peace, bringing people together. So blessed are the peacemakers. So what are we looking at here? We are looking at how that these are the characteristics of God. And Jesus is telling us this, these are the Beatitudes, but it's already, this is already the attitude of God. Whenever we wonder, okay, what does God look like? What is God's character? What would it be like to know Jesus, or how would Jesus interact with us? Well, look at the Beatitudes and see the character of Christ. He would always be looking to bring peace and healing and restoration, solve conflicts, being able to put peace where there is conflict. So we see these attitudes, and Jesus has that. This is who we're dealing with. Every time we pray, every time we're approaching God, these are the characteristics of the personality of Jesus. Also, you look at the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. That's who Jesus is. So whenever you're praying, he's not upset. Well, come on, let's get to the point. I'm not that way at all. I just love to have people talk and talk and talk and talk. Okay, is there a point to this? Whenever I counseled, there was this one lady. I did one time. I mean, she just loved to talk. I mean, and so she would come in, and I would sit down, and I wouldn't even say, have a seat. And I'd sit down, and she'd start. An hour later, I'd say, time's up. I never said a word. And she said, that's the best counseling I've ever had. So, it's just like, okay, you just needed somebody to talk to, I guess. So whenever we think about the attitude of Jesus, we think about what his character is like. So that's why we don't need to be afraid about our life and about how we approach God, because this is what he's like. He longs to hear from us. Another story. Sometimes whenever I start on stories, they just kind of pop up. So anyhow, this guy, he's in Texas, and he wants to talk to God, and so goes to the preacher, and says, you know, I need to talk to God. And he says, well, that's a long distance call from here. He needs $50 or something. Then he goes to, you know, he's traveling, he goes to West Virginia, and he said, well, it's $20 from West Virginia. Then he comes to Wimber, and we tell him, oh, it's free, it's a local call. All right, I'm sure God has a humor. All right, so we find that there is the attitude of the people, attitude of kingdom people, and second, there is the picture, the practice, excuse me, of kingdom people. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. So those are the actions, the practices. Third is the price of kingdom living. And this is in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So when we live by kingdom values, we will clash with the world's values. The anti-God values, they will be harassed. We go to this paper I have here from the New York Times. I referred to it last week, but my friend, he's a staunch Democrat. And I mean, not wrong being Democrat, but he's a very nice person. He's a good friend of mine since I was a kid. But anyhow, he wanted my opinion on this, the problem of Christian assassins. And this is taken from the New York Times. And, you know, we were going to meet and talk about it. And what my problem was is that it calls them the problem of Christian assassins. Number one, Christian and assassin doesn't go together, because an assassin cannot be a Christian. Because that's not, a Christian is those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And the individual that murdered those individuals in Minnesota was a supposed Christian who went to a college in Texas, and it's a preacher who started a college, and nothing wrong with that. And even the college and those who were associated with the college denounced this man's actions. So this assassin. But the article is written from the perspective is basically you can't trust Christians because they're Christian assassins. And we find that it's this whole idea is it's an independent charismatic movement, and it is of the most radical Christians. The people who were Christians, the people that where this individual went to school and that he went to Africa to speak, that he was an exuberant speaker. Well, that doesn't mean he's a Christian. So being able to, there's a lot of things in here he was taking the individual who committed this crime, and it's we're to denounce it. It is not what God would do, and you can't call them a Christian because Christ would not do this. And so in the Beatitudes, we see that this assassin person is completely not living up to the teachings of Jesus. And though he has become radicalized in his ideas, doesn't mean he is a Christian or that Christians put him or caused him to go to this radical position. So to write something with the intent that all Christians, there are Christian assassins amongst us. And it's like, no. it was just... I say that it goes in complete contradiction to what the Beatitudes are. The Beatitudes that, you know, there's no article on the Beatitudes. There is this looking at what this individual has done and how he has broken the law of God and the law of man. And we are to see that it isn't something that the church would be part of. So the church, we find that the world will harass, or there'll be a clash of values between the Christian and the non-Christian, but it doesn't mean that the person who is a believer can accept worldly principles and act upon them as being an assassin, which is not there at all. So I brought that up again because I thought it was important to know that we don't have to hide from things like this. We've got to look at them and understand that people who are writing from a secular position about viewing Christianity through the eyes of someone who is not a Christian. So if we see that, sometimes we look at our own life, that people look at us through eyes that are non-Christian. They look at us to arrive at a conclusion that is not what we are about at all. They're just surmising and adding their biases into the formula. So blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This individual is not persecuted for righteousness' sake. This person is going to, he needs to pay the penalty for his breaking of the laws. It is not what Jesus would have done. So blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice, verse 11 and 12, rejoice and be glad, not because persecution is good, but because your reward is great. Notice how that God has promised us rewards, not for breaking the laws of God, but for living the Christian life and doing what is right in the sight of God. He promises us rewards. The focus is on God and the good that he has for us. We spoke about this in the Sunday school lesson, that whenever we are doing what is right in the sight of God, there are blessings. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It doesn't mean that we are happy that bad things happen. We are rejoicing in the reward that is coming. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That the joy that was set before him was not the cross. The joy that was set before him was you and I, knowing him as our Savior, and our sins would be forgiven. So for that joy, he endured the cross. And so in our life, whenever we are enduring the difficulties and we are rejoicing, God has a way and a purpose to bring us out the other side for what is good in our life. So rejoice and be glad. We are not alone. The prophets were treated in the same way, how that they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. And the application is, am I willing to follow Jesus even when it costs me? Rejoice and be glad. And finally, blessed are you. Blessed are you. These are not commands to perform, but qualities to embody, that we are to exemplify these beatitudes. That we are to, these are not commands, don't kill, don't bear false witness, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Those are the commands, don't. The beatitudes are qualities of our life. Much different. These are not commands, these are qualities that God gives to us about loving the unlovable, praying for those who persecute us, doing good to those who don't do good to us, praying for those who are in need. So we find that these are qualities that are part of our life. They're not commands, they're qualities of our life. Some of us are gifted at running the mile in 9 seconds. I can do that in a car. That's a quality. So anyhow, I won't go there. The Beatitudes describe the character of Christ, and they call to us to reflect him. The Beatitudes call for us to be reflective of what we see in Jesus. So that's why it's so important to understand the character of God. What does God look like? What does the Scriptures portray Christ as being? And how is that picture being reflected in our life? He is the sun, we are the moon. the moon doesn't have light, it just reflects it. Christ is the light, we are reflective of that. And some of us are just a sliver of the moon. And some of us is a full moon, I thought that was funny. So anyhow, the Beatitudes describe the character of Christ. So Jesus begins his teaching, not with rules, but with rewards. It's important to remember that. He begins his teaching not with rules, but with rewards. Now, it's not what we give up, it's what we gain. Okay? Remember the first part, blessed are the poor in spirit. What do we gain? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they will be comforted. For they will inherit the earth. For they will be filled. For they will be shown mercy. For they will see God. For they will be called children of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. These are the rewards of the Beatitudes, that we have this reflection of God, and this is the attitude of God, and this is what we are reflecting in our life. So what would it be like to have Jesus be here with you when you're talking to someone? Well, it's like the two kids sitting at the table, and there's only one piece of pie left, and one's 5 years old or 6 years old, and the other's four, and Mama says that this is a good place to teach the children about God and so on. And she looks at the two boys, and Bobby and Ricky, and so Bobby's the older one, and so she says, now here it is, we got one piece of pie, what would Jesus do? And Bobby turns, the older turns to the younger, and says, you be Jesus today, I'll eat the pie. So sometimes we have to be Jesus today. And we find that this is kingdom living and kingdom people, and we belong to the kingdom of God. And next week we're doing salt and light. But the Beatitudes are the character traits of Jesus Christ, and they are to be our character. This is to be who we are. It's just part of the reward. The reward of serving Jesus. We get rewarded for it. Blessed are those. Blessed, blessed, blessed. So, which of these blessings speak most directly to you? So as we think about these, which one popped out, spoke to you? And what would it look like for you to be hungry? I know, preacher, it's late, but hungry for righteousness this week. What would it look like for us to be hungry for righteousness? Can we commit to living the kingdom life this week? Being part of God's kingdom. We already are, but now with this emphasis upon the Beatitudes. And so it's in Matthew chapter 5. You can look at it and read it again. So kingdom living is not arriving, it is always coming. Because life is always evolving. It's not where we have been, but it's where we are going. The pinnacle that will take you there is the Beatitudes that Christ has given to us. Amen? Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your spirit that leads us into all truth. We pray that you, Lord, will make this real to our hearts and minds, that we can follow you, and God, that you will give us the strength, the wisdom, the ability to apply your word to our life, whether it's in forgiving or giving or allowing or separating. Whatever it is, Lord, you have called us to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And we ask you to guide us in all truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.